Hello, and welcome to the CredoCast. I'm John Doherty, the founder and CEO of digital marketing marketplace Credo, where I connect you with the best digital marketing agencies and consultants available online. I started Credo at the beginning of 2013 because I saw a need. Large companies with big budgets have an easy time finding a great agency, but I saw that small businesses had an incredibly hard time. There are many misleading messages about what it takes to grow your business online these days, and small businesses have been hurt by bad agencies before. I've even seen it happen to my own friends. This podcast series digs into the beginning stories of Credo pros and other select entrepreneurs in the digital marketing space. Whether you're just starting a business or you've been in business for years, these stories are meant to encourage, energize, and inspire you to take the next step in your career, whatever that is. So sit back, listen, and enjoy the conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the next episode of the CredoCast. Today, I have with me Brandon Doyle of Wallaroo Media, based in Provo, Utah. And fun fact, Brandon was actually the first person that I ever sold a lead to through what was then called HireGun, and now Credo, where I sent him an email saying that I had a lead and wondered if he would want to spend $50 for it. And he asked me what my PayPal email address was, and 3 minutes later, I had $50 in my account and sent him the lead, and I don't remember if he closed the business or not, but I'm super happy to have Brandon on the show today. So Brandon, welcome to the show, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about Wallaroo Media, and how Wallaroo Media got started.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. Yeah, so Wallaroo, so my parents had a website built in late 2008, and it was a site where you could customize your own Letterman jacket. And anyway, the site at the time, they spent about $35,000 on the website, which was more than all the money they had at the time. So anyway, the website finished, then it was live on the internet and they were getting no visitors. So they had me look into getting quotes for SEO. And because I didn't know anything about it at the time. So by this time it was early 09 and I was getting quotes and I probably got like 20 quotes and the cheapest bid was $6,000 a month and they had literally $0. So I don't know why I was getting quotes anyway, but that's what I was doing. So after I got all the quotes, passed them off, they decided that they couldn't afford any of them. So then I suggested to them that maybe they could give me some equity, and in exchange for that, I would just do my best to market their website on the internet. And that's how it started. So I just started learning SEO myself. At the time, it was a lot of stuff on Moz, and then sort of grew it out from there. So by the end of '09, I got them to the front page of a bunch of stuff, and then by around the fall season of 2010, they were ranking number one for a few, I don't know, maybe like 50 or 60 of their main keywords. And by that time, I knew that I was in love with SEO and I wanted to do it full time.
So tell me a little bit more about that. Did you have a full-time job when you were, when you started doing SEO for your parents' website?
Yeah. So when I started, I was still in college actually. And then through the time of learning and then doing the SEO for their site, and I guess a little bit of social media at the time too, I graduated college, then I took a job in finance, and then I kept my job in finance for about a year and a half, all the while wanting to quit ever since day one because I knew I wanted to do SEO.
Got it. So you could really say that your parents were your first, they're kind of your first client, similar to a lot of other people I've spoken with, not to go to Donald Trump, but a lot of people have told me that, that, you know, their first client was, you know, they built them a website and that client also needed SEO. And so they learned it. They didn't charge them for it yet, but they learned it that way. And so kind of, you know, they got to tinker around with someone else's and, you know, and realized, that they enjoyed it. And then at what point, did you basically realize that you wanted to do it full time? And how did you make that work financially? How did you get your first client?
Yeah. So I had my parents as a client, although they weren't, you know, I mean, they weren't really paying just because it was more of like a equity sort of thing. And they would just sort of give me some money at the end of the year, depending on how much they sold. And then my second client was my father-in-law, so definitely got helped out there. And then through referrals, one from my parents, one from my father-in-law, I got two more. So now I had four clients when I was still at my finance job. But I knew it was time to quit because I was always excited to go home and work at night. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that excitement level. So that's when I knew it was officially time to quit. So I quit in February of 2012, which is when my wife was pregnant with our second kid. And I joined up with my best friend, Cade Hendershot, to dive into Wallaroo full time. So anyway, that's when it was. What sort of stunk, though, is of the four clients I had, for really, really weird, random reasons, three of the four, not my parents, but the other three, they had to end their relationship with me all in the same month. So in February, right after I quit, the income from all three was gone. So that was tough. So Kate and I, we just hustled as hard as we could, went to tons of city chamber events, stuff like that, little networking things, and scrapped the bottom of the barrel and grew from there. That's really how it started.
So how long did it take? First of all, that's a crazy story. I can't imagine leaving my job and finance pays well, and you're like, well, I'm getting paid well, but I also have a bunch of clients, and I'm, you know, basically working two full-time jobs now. And then you leave and your wife is pregnant with your second child, so you have a family to support, and all of a sudden you don't have any income. That's got to be terrifying. Did you consider going back to work for someone at that point, going back to your old job, saying like, I made a mistake?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, I had to convince my wife to let me quit, of course, because partly because of the timing. I mean, if she wasn't pregnant, it would have been easier, but just the fact that we already had one and the second kid was on its way, and then insurance and all that. But I was like, if I don't quit, I mean, when am I going to quit? I got to do it at some point. So that was sort of my reasoning, because I knew I was going to do it. It was just a matter of when. But yeah, then it happens, and then the timing's bad, and then my wife is like, do you think you'd get your job back? And I mean, I knew that I could have if I wanted to, but that's not, you know, that wasn't the path I wanted to go down. So, yeah, it was tough. I don't really know how to convey that other than it was really hard and difficult, emotionally, and financially. But, I wouldn't, in all honesty, do it any other way, because that motivated me and Kate at the time. I mean, he already had two kids, so it's not like he was in a great financial position either. It just motivated both of us to just hustle as hard as we could, really.
Got it. So you had a lean few months, and it sounds like you went out and networked in person and tried to drum up some business there. At what point, how long was it until you basically realized that you had a consistent amount of work that, you know, you knew that it was going to work?
Yeah, so this was February when this all happened. And then by July, we had enough clients to pay for both of our both bills. Bills on his side, bills on our side. My you know, his family, my family. So that's how long it took us to get to that point, I guess. And that was really just, again, that was just us doing everything we could. We were doing SEO for ourselves, except for we had only just barely put up a website, so we couldn't really rank for anything, you know, that had to do with SEO, just because it was already competitive even then. So we got to number one for the word Wallaroo, which, whatever, had an okay amount of searches every month. So that was like our claim to fame in getting clients. It was like, hey, look, if you Google Wallaroo, we're number one in the world, so we know how to do SEO. And then, you know, we got lawyers and dentists and chiropractors. Those were our first clients, you know, all the local type stuff, restaurants, and then grew from there. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like there's a little bit of and I think we've all done this at some point, a little bit of a fake it till you make it, right? So you said, hey, look, we rank for our brand name. you know, which on the one hand, you know, looking back is like, well, that's not, you know, super awesome. But on the other hand, you know, it worked. And you also, you know, it's not that you didn't know SEO, but, you know, you also had a brand new website and that sort of thing, and you're just getting started. So you kind of did what was needed to get going, which I think a lot of us can relate to. So at what point did you officially form a business, you know, Wallaroo Media LLC or whatever it is? Yeah. Was that straight off, or was that when you knew that it was going to work and you would at least be doing it for the next, you know, couple of years, if not longer?
Yeah, no, that was pretty much straight off. It was like April, 2 months after or so we formed it. Yeah, I mean, we knew we wanted to do it, so we just did it. We just whatever. I think it was with LegalZoom, Rocket Lawyer, one of those types of services. That's how we got it all set up.
Got it. And tell me about that. I mean, it sounds like you have family members that helped you out with that. Is that right? Or did you just went ahead and did it?
Oh no, we just went ahead and did it.
Yeah. And why did you choose to go ahead and do it then, as opposed to waiting? I know a number of people that have just been kind of doing the 1099 freelance thing. What was the advantage to you of going ahead and forming it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was partially because, one of the chambers that we were going to, like the sort of main chamber in our area for Provo, you had to be like an officially registered business to go. And so that was probably, if I remember right, the main reason why we made it all official, so that we could go to all their events. But also, I don't know, we kind of felt like big boys having an official LLC, and we felt cool. I'm sure that was part of it too.
Yeah, I gotcha. There is definitely something to having that official business entity where it's not, where you sound like, and you are really taking it seriously and saying, look, this is something I'm going to invest money into. Because forming a business entity, you know, LLC or whatever, it's, you know, cheaper in other states than California, but at least in California where I live, it was $800 to form an LLC. You know, and $800 is not a small amount of money, right? So when I formed my LLC about close to a year ago, that was me basically saying, look, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm giving this a real go. Plus there are tax advantages to it and all of that as well. But, you know, but it also sounds to me like it was part of the price of entry for you. Cause if you're going to be going to these, you know, chambers of commerce and, you know, needed to get in the door and that was where you're going to get your first clients, that was also just, once again, the price of doing business. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, totally. So the first paycheck we got, the first time a client paid us, I think it was $500 or maybe $400 a month was what.
Okay.
Anyway, we took that money, formed the LLC, got an office, got business cards all in one sort of fell swoop, and it cost about that much. Like our office was only like $100 a month. Forming the LLC was like $350, and then we spent the other $50 on business cards. So, you know, all that money was gone. But we, again, I don't know if it was more like our own egos or if we just wanted to feel legit or if it was, I'm sure it was just a combination of that and fully committing to the process and then also the whole being a part of the chamber type thing.
Definitely. Man, I wish I could get an office for $100 a month. That would be amazing.
Yeah, not insane.
So, yeah, seriously. So if you had to do it again, would you have done anything differently? What would you have changed? What do you think? What did you do then that maybe has made things easier or has made things more difficult as you've grown? Because you're around, what, 25 people now there in Provo?
Yeah. We have like almost 30 now on our team.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
4 years on, right?
Yeah, about 4 years. Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't know. I mean, one thing we did early on, and this is not something that we would say yes to anything. So we would pretty much just pitch SEO and social media. That's what we would pitch. And then if a client said, oh, can you make me a website? We'd just say yeah, even though we didn't have a developer. So like we had a guy that knew a little bit. He would like set up a WordPress template at the time. And if they said, do you do PR? We would say, yeah. If they said, whatever, do you do Kickstarter project? We say, yeah. We just said yes to everything. And this is when we couldn't. I mean, now we're a full service, pretty much a full service agency, So now I feel comfortable saying yes to most things. But back then I said yes to everything when we did not have the capacity, whether it be man hours in some cases, and in other cases we just didn't have the talent or the knowledge. So I think, I mean, for sure in hindsight, I would have done that differently. I would have just focused on just SEO and social and not tried to be everything for every person, because I mean, we lost clients because of it, and that's, no one ever wants to lose a client. So yeah.
Totally. And so what do you think was the driving force behind saying yes to everything? Do you think that initial getting started, you quit your job and lost all your clients in the same month, you know, for under no fault of your own? Do you think that drove you?
Yeah, that was for sure part of it. It was for sure, it was for sure partly we wanted to just solve everyone's problems, and we wanted to like be looked at as, hey, I can go to Wallaroo for anything that I need that has to do with the internet, basically. And then also it was, we need the money, especially super early on, we desperately needed the money. So if we didn't know how to do it, we'd just say we did. And then we'd either try and teach it ourselves, or if we could find someone to help us out, we'd pull someone in on a temp basis, basically. But, yeah, that was why. And again, in hindsight, I wouldn't do that again, but I think we obviously learned some valuable lessons from it.
Absolutely. So let's back up a step to that. You quit your job and immediately lost your clients. Had you been planning that exit for a little while? Had you been like, you know, socking away money and had, you know, 6 months of runway or something like that? Or was it even tighter than that?
Yeah, so I had maybe 3 months of runway, assuming I was going to keep those clients. And then since that didn't work out, I basically had like a month-ish. No, more like 2 months. 2 months of runway. But then with the insurance, just because my wife was pregnant, we were going to try to get approved to stay on the company I was working with, to stay on their insurance plan, and it didn't work out. So then I had to pay just a lot more than we were expecting. So that's why. So yeah, we had to dip into credit cards, and that was annoying, but whatever, we paid it off and it's fine. And I think that's another lesson. I mean, I don't think I would never recommend to anyone that they obviously go into credit card debt, because that's the worst kind, but nothing will make you hustle harder than having credit card debt. That's for sure.
Right. Totally. Does that, so for you, that's actually a motivator as well to, you have those extrinsic, motivators, I'm not gonna be able to pay my bills or whatever. You find that motivates you in business, to this day?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of ways that I get motivated, whether it's wanting to spend more time with my kids or wanting to travel the world, or just wanting to be the best agents we can be. But I think financially, that's the money aspect is definitely the largest, because that's the thing that can sort of, you know, allow you to do all these other things in life. So that's always been the biggest for me personally.
Got it. And you're very much a go and see all the things. I remember from our trip to Mexico with the other guys for Credo Camp back in April, we went to the beach and I was happy just hanging out, eating fish tacos on the beach. And you were like, I need to go do this. I need to go get this. And you go get this massage. I need to see this thing. I need to go to this store. So that totally makes sense for you as well.
Yeah.
So the last question I have for you is, and I love asking this to fellow entrepreneurs, What would it take to get you to go back to work for someone again, or would you ever?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I mean, I was thinking about this like a month or so ago, and then your question, when you had emailed me the questions prior, that made me think about it again. There's literally only, I would never ever leave Wallaroo, even if it got bought or something. I wouldn't leave. I just love it so much, and I love the people. The only scenario I would consider is if Elon Musk approached me and said, hey, I want you to come help me out at SpaceX or Tesla. That's seriously the only thing. And I don't foresee that happening, but if it does, I would probably do it, to be honest, just because I just respect him so much and I think he's changing the world in so many ways. So that's literally the only way.
Wow. So even if like if Nike came to you and they were like, look, we need a new, you know, director of digital marketing or something like that, and you can work remotely, you wouldn't do it?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm a pretty huge sports fan, so that would definitely be tempting. Or if like the NBA or NFL came a knocking, but I mean, I don't necessarily see that happening. But no, I mean, I still don't
never know, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think so. It'd have to be Mr. Musk himself.
Got it. Well, Elon Musk, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but if you are listening and you need someone, Brandon Doyle is a good guy for you, and he may come join you, though you might have to fly out and woo him a little bit in Utah.
Yeah, but I mean, once you get the taste of it, and once you're, I think an entrepreneur, there's so many aspects of it, but partly it's like a gene, like it's just a part of you, and so to give that up, that would be so hard.
Totally. I completely understand that. So you started Wallaroo Media about 4 years ago with Cade, 4.5 years ago now. You've grown it from nothing to two unemployed guys with your parents as your clients to where it is now, 25 to 30 people doing well, you know, revenue-wise, all of that. What's next for Brandon Doyle and what's next for Wallaroo Media?
For me? Hopefully, I've got 3 kids. Hopefully, get a fourth somewhat soon. That's me on the personal side. For Wallaroo, we just want to keep growing. We've been very deliberate and controlled with our growth. We just want to keep that. I mean, I don't want to get to like 100 employees. I know that Sears passed there now, and that's awesome. And I respect Will for that. And that's incredible. I don't think we'd ever want to get to like more than 50 or so employees, so we can try and keep the small aspect of a company type feel and everyone still knows everyone, and just keep growing and keep working with awesome clients. That's all I want to do.
That's fantastic. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me here today. It's always awesome to hear how you guys are doing. To catch up, where can people listening to this show find you online and what should they expect there?
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter, Travelin Tweeter, no G at the end of Travelin. I'm pretty active there. I tweet about SEO, content, social. I really like Snapchat these days and travel. So feel free to connect with me there. And then John, I mean, I've told you this before, I think, but you've been a mentor ever since. So, you know, we were talking about that February. That was February 2012. In September 2012, we flew out to New York, Cade and I, and we met you. And you were the early mentor for me and for Cade and for Wallaroo. And we'll forever be indebted to that. So you're the man.
Yeah, I remember that lunch. Went to the Grey Dog across the street from where I worked in New York City. And yeah, it was, I was kind of like, who are these guys? And after meeting with y'all, I was like, these guys are awesome. You know, they're going to go really, really far. And it's been really fun. I actually didn't know until today that you had really just started doing your own thing about what, 5-6 months prior to that. So it's awesome to see how you guys have grown and also to have been able to be a big part of your growth, you know, over the last couple years. And I look forward to continuing to be that as, you know, as my platform grows and, you know, I'm rooting for you guys. So keep it up.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me today.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay. See ya.